That is 5:08. Good afternoon. We're on the air now with an extra community affairs at KDUZ. And Greg Urban today joining us, president of the Crow River Area Amateur Radio Club, and joined by Bob Lobeck. Bob is a member of the club. Greg and Bob, good afternoon. Good having you on the air here.
Well, good afternoon, Jim. It's great to be here. And I want to tell you a little bit about our club and so on. We are a community service organization of amateur radio operators in the local area. And I think I can best give you an idea of what our club is about by reading to you from our actual bylaws the mission statement of the Crow River Area Amateur Radio Club. And the mission of the Crow River Area Amateur Radio Club is to help promote and to perpetuate amateur radio and the club by means of community service, such as support of emergency communications and other activities that contribute to public interest, convenience, welfare, and safety, to foster fellowship, camaraderie, and the exchange of technical knowledge among its members through the club meetings, social activities, and other means, to help members grow in skill and enjoyment of amateur radio through mentoring and training programs, to recruit new people to the amateur radio and to the club, and to advance the science of radio through experimentation, education, and mentoring.
You did good. You're an old radio guy from Sioux Falls area, aren't you?
Yeah, I used to have a third phone, and I used to actually work midnight to six shift on KISD radio.
Sure.
That was more years ago than I want to talk about.
A great mission statement there. Let's move over to Bob. Bob, good afternoon. Good having you on the radio.
Good afternoon.
Let's talk a little bit about the members that you have in the club. How strong is the club? How many members do you have?
About 35.
We've got 25 paid members. There's about 35 members that subscribe to the Reflector, I believe. And the Reflector is a amateur radio website, and it's a email site that we have set up for the members of the Crow River Club. And that can be accessed through yahoogroups.com at W0CRC. So you can sign up there and get emails about the club and what we're doing.
Now, you know, to get these ham radios, you have to have a special license. Let's talk about that, either you, Greg, or Bob, one or the other. What about becoming a licensed person to be able to operate these radios?
Well, you're right. You do have to have a special license. And the interesting thing about ham radio is that ham radio is licensed in a special way that no other radio is licensed in. For example, the radio station here, it is the station and equipment that is licensed. However, in amateur radio, it is the operator that is licensed, and in no other radio service is that done. So as an amateur radio operator, you are licensed as a person. And that's not done in any other radio service. Bob, do you want to talk about some of the training programs that we have and some of that stuff?
Sure. Right now, we're doing, in conjunction with the Meeker County Group, we're doing a class for technicians up at the Rescue Hall, which is, I think the next class is Tuesday night.
Yeah, I believe it's next Tuesday
week. I actually taught myself the tech.
Okay.
I didn't get a class. I bought a book from Roger, and given my job, I could not get the time off to make the classes, so I did it on my own, and I think I did pretty well on the test, according to what Greg said.
You did real well.
How many degrees of licenses are there, then, in ham radio that you can get?
There used to be a whole lot of them, but now they've got it narrowed down to three. They have the technician class license, which is your entry class license. That is a license exam that primarily consists of rules, operating procedures, and a little bit of technical information. The next level of license is the general class license, which gets into more advanced operating procedures. It gets you into high frequency, which is your long distance radio operation, which is what we do when we have our contests here. And then the extra class is the highest class license. And it's important for me to bring up to you that there is no longer a requirement to know the Morse code. There's still a lot of people out there that are using it, but it's no longer a licensing requirement.
The Morse code, you hear, you know, if you have a radio that can scan a lot of frequencies that, like I have, sometimes you hear Morse code being tapped out in that. Well, where would that be coming from?
For example, our repeater has to identify itself. We have two repeaters that are licensed to the club, and soon, hopefully, to have three. We've got another repeater that's going to be going up in Hutchinson here that's an ultra-high-frequency repeater. But we have two repeaters. We have one repeater that operates on 147.375 megahertz, and that repeater is on the water tower up by the golf course in Hutchinson. And that repeater has an automatic identifier that keys out in Morse code to identify
itself. That's probably what I'm picking up right there.
That's what you're picking up.
Because the one I have is primarily for aviation.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting to note that same VHF frequency, which is very high frequency, that same VHF frequency band covers aviation. It also covers police and fire. So there's a lot of things that band covers. And one of the nice things about being an amateur radio operator that I'll bring up here is that the only people that are authorized to have a scanning radio in their car is a licensed amateur radio operator. The general public is not allowed to do that. However, as an amateur, you can have a scanner in your car.
Interesting. All right, and trading opportunities, I think, Bob, you mentioned that. They have a class, I believe, tomorrow night.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday in Litchfield. And what are you going to be learning during that class?
That's a tech class, and they're just learning, like Greg said, the basic rules, a little bit of technical stuff.
And what does that allow you to do then? Does that allow you to just get on the radio and kind of talk to each other, or what?
Well, yes, it's your basic entry class license. It gives you the very basic VHF, UHF privileges. It gives you the 6-meter band, which is an HF band. But basically, it gives you the local stuff that you'll hear on your repeater or on your scanner. And that's where we do all of our stuff for Skywarn and support of some of these emergency services.
I'll tell you what, hold your thoughts. We're going to come back and talk about Skywarn and some of the emergency services you provide, okay, in that club. Quarter past 5, now 22 at KDOZ. We'll return in a moment. Good afternoon. We're on the air today here on KDOZ with members of the Coral River Area Amateur Radio Club. Greg Urban joining us as president, and member this afternoon, Robert Lobeck, or Bob Lobeck. Again, guys, good having you in the studio here. Skywarn is going to begin tomorrow, I guess, the training, right, Greg?
Yeah, we're actually training in conjunction with the Meeker County Radio Club, which indirectly our club kind of got this thing, got Meeker County started. They have approximately, I think, 18 to 20 members in their club, and a lot of their members are members of our club as well, and a lot of our members are members of their club. Now, as to Skywarn, tomorrow afternoon we have a Skywarn training class. This is in conjunction with the National Weather Service. And one of the things that we do, one of the most important things we do as amateur radio operators, is operate Skywarn for the National Weather Service. The radar, when it comes out of Minneapolis, when it gets out to Hutchinson, is up in the air. It's not seeing what's on the ground. And so they can't see hail and things like that in the radar. They can tell that there's something going on, but they need a trained spotter on the ground. And so that's one of the things that we do. And it's probably one of the most important things we do. And they love amateur radio operators because we can generally get a report of an incident going on to them in under 2 minutes, and in most cases under 1 minute, because we have direct amateur radio links to the National Weather Service in Chanhassen.
Let's just take about a minute or two, and I don't know if you can do it in a minute or two, but how this whole network is set up for Skywarn. Let's say we have a severe weather outbreak. You know the conditions, hot, humid, and so on, which will be coming here hopefully in another couple of months, you know, get rid of winter. but how do you guys set that up, and where do you operate out of?
Well, basically what we do, we have an email alert system and a phone alert system. Since I am the Cloud County Skywarn Director for Amateur Radio, they will send me an email, or they will send me, give me a phone call.
National Weather Service?
National Weather Service. Right. And they will say that, prepare to activate. We want you to activate at such and such time. We expect something's coming. Then we'll go ahead and activate. And when we activate, we'll do one or two things. We have operators that have radio capabilities at their own homes, but we also have, down in the basement of this radio station here, we have a Skywarn bunker, as we call it, down in the basement, which is a good place to be in bad weather, that has 2-meter radio communications. And we send our spotters out to the areas, or we don't really send them out, but we ask them to go out. to our areas and to that are possible trouble areas, mm-hmm. and then they spot the weather for us and report back to us, and then we lay it directly to the National Weather Service through another repeater. It's a spoke and hub system mm-hmm. that's actually on the smokestack in Becker at 600 feet. That baby's got some coverage.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I really, and what do you do with the information? I mean, you know, you got spotters reporting into a central area, you know, like spotters of obviously the Corover Amateur Radio Club calling in, right?
Right.
Now, do you deal with the police department or fire department from like Hutch here or McLeod County?
We do. We work in conjunction with Kevin Matthews, who is the McLeod County Emergency Management mm-hmm, Director. Mm-hmm. We work in conjunction with the police department when asked. For emergency services. That's the other two things that we do is what's called ARIES and RACES. Mm-hmm. And those are disaster communications capabilities. One of the things that we've done is we've just recently got our 501(c) designation from the federal government.
Okay.
So we now
which means
are,
what?
Which means that we are a tax-free or tax-deductible charitable organization.
So we can give you all sorts of money then, right?
Well, we'd sure like that
okay.
because we have a big list of things that we want to do for this area
right.
to help for disaster preparedness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Jim, you were talking about Skywarn, and I have in front of me, if we have enough time, I could go through this. But basically, I have a listing that was sent to me by the National Weather Service of the Minnesota tornadoes by county from 1950 to 2007.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things that I found about this is that all around us in McLeod County, we only had 15 tornadoes in that time period. But all around us, there was 22 over in Renville. There mm-hmm. was 39 in Candy, Ohio, 39 mm-hmm. up in Stearns, 20 in Wright, 26 in Sibley. And where does all our bad weather come from? It comes out from the northwest, the
right.
southwest,
mm-hmm.
and the west.
Right.
And so that's where we're working to get more spotters. We're working to get more repeaters and so on up out in that area because we've got a big dead spot out there.
What about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? Inevitably, these storms seem to fire in this area. And you wake up middle of the night and phone's ringing. We have a severe thunderstorm warning or whatever. We come down here and get on the air of the radio station.
I activated twice last year.
Yeah, okay. Were you here then or what?
Yep.
At the radio station?
No, I did it from my home QTH.
Okay.
Which is what you do. QTH is home.
Okay.
It's radio speak.
Yeah, you got to put it in plain English here for me, Bob. So you operate out of your home then early
Some
in the morning
do.
Or what?
Yeah, some of us do have stations in our home. Most
okay.
of us do. That's why
mm-hmm.
we get into the hobby. And
yep. Right in the training for Skywarn, it says do not go out at night. Because you can't, if you've got a tornado, you can't see it.
True.
So you could
yeah.
park yourself right in the path and end up looking
yeah.
like Dorothy in Oz.
Yeah, but just, you know, our purpose of being here is disseminating the information
right.
to the public at that and during that severe weather situation.
Right. And that was one of the things, I will never forget the night that I was down here in the basement of KDUZ,
mm-hmm.
And I, as an amateur club radio member, we have access to the building,
mm-hmm.
and it was late at night on a Saturday night, I believe, or Sunday night, and that was the night that the Rogers tornado happened.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I felt very bad about that because that tornado came out of the dark mm-hmm. from the Andover area. I had no spotters in that area at that time. We didn't have people up in Meeker County.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there was a young girl that was killed in that,
yep,
and I
yep,
feel very
yep.
bad about
mm-hmm.
that because so obviously that's what we're here to do,
yeah.
is to try and prevent those tragedies. And maybe mm-hmm. if those people would have had a little more warning, you know, if we could have given them some
Well, that was kind of an unusual circumstance, so from what right. I remember, meteorologically anyway.
Yeah, that...
Big word this time of the day.
Yeah. Well, that tornado absolutely dropped out of nowhere.
Yep.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
The people that don't understand how the radar works at the National Weather Service, mm-hmm. That Doppler radar is a great thing, but it takes 4 minutes for that thing to make one complete rotation. And at the time that that tornado dropped out,
it was
yep. 180 degrees out of phase.
Yep.
And so it didn't see it until it was already yep. down and on yep. the ground and the damage had been
That's
done.
Where if you'd had members up there, that would have been great.
Yeah, if yeah. we would have had members mm-hmm. Out there that could have spotted that thing, they would have gotten notification within probably a minute and a half, and they could have mm-hmm. at least sounded the sirens.
You looking for new members all the time or what?
All the time. Anybody that wants to get trained in amateur radio can call me at my home phone number, which is area code 320-587-6028. Mm-hmm. And I will put them in touch with our educational director, or if they want to contact him directly, our educational director is Roger Vosick. And I don't have his phone number, but it's in the book.
All right, Bob, anything that you have to say? You got about 35, 40 seconds to go. Time goes too quickly.
I just wanted to add that amateur radio knows no age either. Mm-hmm. There's people as young as 10 that have their ham license.
Great.
I've heard stories from Greg and people in the club of 10-year-olds sending Morse code faster than an old extra ham can copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our oldest member is 82 years old.
It's a great hobby to be in.
It really is. Yep. And the important thing to remember about amateur radio is, you know, we could sit here and talk for hours about the Minnesota Bridge collapse. Mm-hmm. Amateur radio works when all else fails. That's the ARRL, which is the Amateur Radio Relay League motto. And that is so true, because on the night of the bridge collapse, all of these cell phones that you see everybody have, no good.
Yep.
The trunking system goes down, but amateur radio continues on working.
We're going to get you back in a couple of months, get an update on how the club is going and maybe some, you know, whatever. It's just fun talking to you.
Well, thank you very much for having us today.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bob Lobeck, a member of the Grover Area Amateur Radio Club, along with President Greg Urban, joining us here. Guys, have a great day. Thanks for coming in this time of the day.
Thank you very much for having us, Jim. And like I say, we're always looking for new members and donations.
Right.
Like I say, we've got a big list of equipment that we're wanting to get implemented into this area.
All right. Thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.